Jarvis, drop my needle.
Hello, this is the hardcore legend Mick Foley, and if you are interested in listening to idiots, you came to the right place. Have a nice day.
Woo! That's an attention getter.
He's a very strange young man.
Damn! He's an idiot.
What we're dealing with here is a complete lack of respect for the law.
Oh my God, he's an idiot.
You know, of course, that you're out of your jurisdiction.
Personally, I think you're an idiot.
But that's the evidence in the car!
I was going into Tosche Station to pick up some power converters.
Always like to keep my audience riveted.
Greetings, ladies and gentlemen, friends and fiends, and welcome to Free Range Idiocy, the podcast about everything, but mostly just the stuff we like. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I've said it before, and I'll say...
What am I doing here?
Never quite like this. We have no idea what's going to happen now. This is uncharted territory for us. Welcome to episode 157B. This is the addendum to our WrestleMania predictions.
I got no week in geek here. What do I do?
Calm down. It'll be
what
all right.
What am I supposed to
do? It'll be all right. Just sip your bourbon and everything will be fine. If you need to, put a little baby nipple on that thing and just, you know, do what you got to do.
I think I might have just thrown a bill into my bourbon.
That's awesome. But ladies and gentlemen, we recorded our WrestleMania predictions and preview and all of that with two full weeks of television leading up to WrestleMania, fully knowing that things would change, that things would happen, and what do you know, things have changed and things have happened. So we decided we both had a little bit of extra time on our hands, and we're going to try and record a quick little mini episode here. Mini in terms of our
so only 4 hours instead of the normal six.
So we're going to go over a few things that have changed, a few of the added matches, talk about that, and we might even chit chat a little bit more about the main events because that has escalated, shall we say.
The final boss.
Oh my gosh, the fracking intro now.
Oh yeah,
for The Rock. Number one, they finally have got the best way to shoot it, where they're not shooting, you know, the normal way they shoot the entrances. They get that nice far away view so you can really see the lighting and everything, and then the way they shifted into that new entrance, which, I mean, The Rock already had a great entrance. You gotta love that it's basically just one long guitar solo. That's all it is.
Yes.
And it's freaking amazing. It's mwah, chef's kiss. Mm-hmm. And then now it like modulated up a step or something. So it's now it's like key change. Ha! Okay, whatever. But no, that was fantastic. Fan-freaking-tastic. Yes. It's almost but not quite glorious. Not quite, though. Not quite. All right, so let's dive right into this. So we did have a little bit of a settling, if you will, you know, may settle during shipping, for the Undisputed WWE Tag Team Championship 6-pack Tag Team Ladder Match. Holy sweet mother of...
Say that seven times fast, my friend.
Now, the thing to note here is apparently Michael Cole on Raw this past week, or yesterday, as it so happens, as we're recording this on Tuesday night, he did say that both sets of belts will be hung over the ring, and once one set of belts is pulled down, the match continues.
Ah! Dude, we were first on that one.
Yep. So there is a very real possibility that we will be getting the tag belts split again.
We will get a de-unification match, which is long time coming.
Thank goodness. So I believe our predictions here still would hold true because I had Awesome Truth and Judgment Day splitting the belts. You had DIY and Theory Waller, which is
known as
A-Town
Down Under. So I guess I need to amend my pick to A-Town Down Under.
So fracking terrible. Do you want to change anything on this one? Whether it be quality and or winners?
No, I think I want to sit pat where I am. I like the choice of DIY, A-Town, Down Under. I still think it's going to be a 4-star affair. I think it's these ladder matches. And I guess I hate to say it that way when you compare it to, you know, matches like Gunther and Sami Zayn where I'm going 4.25 stars. But there's something about those ladder matches and the chaos and the rapid fire action that goes on. Like, I would love to just kind of be a fly on the wall or just be there when these guys and the agents lay this match out, because it just always amazes me how they're able to keep track of all of this and have it go the way that it goes. You know what I mean? Like, these ladder matches seem so crazy. I just don't know how you lose a step or lose sight of where you're trying to go in the match. You know what I mean?
I'm just amazed any of these guys can get life insurance policies, to be quite honest.
Fair enough. Yeah. It's like, lock it in before you start your career, because
yeah.
Once you get in there, I'm sure they don't want to insure you for anything. So
now, one other thing that I did see today, courtesy of WrestleLamia, is that there are some rumors of a Hardy Boys return at WrestleMania. There were some rumblings, some stirrings.
They've done it before.
Apparently, Matt Hardy thought it was a very nice compliment and everything. The rumor, the thought process, or the inside knowledge, I guess, is that Jeff Hardy might still have time on his AEW contract because of the injury that he had. So his time has not passed, but then there would be an idea of, do they just want to be done with him? Because apparently Matt's no longer under contract. And they didn't really seem to be all that happy with the Hardys being there. Anyways,
well, I don't know if you had seen this in the scuttlebutt over the last couple of weeks, or actually happened about a month ago. Jeff was like concussed by Sammy Guevara during their match, and it was Sammy's fault. Like, when you see what he basically goes, he does a move where he just like has an errant knee that just like lays right into him, and then he continues to do his finisher to him. And Matt was at ringside, and when the match ended, Matt like flies in there and he is pissed.
Well, yeah.
At Guevara, because they should have stopped it and the ref should have had time. I think the ref was going to try to evaluate him before he pulled him into the finisher. And I think Guevara has been like suspended for the last like month or so because.
Oof.
Yeah.
Well, and deservedly so, because I mean, it's I mean, I get it.
And when Jeff Hardy gets, I mean, he looks like he's rocked. I mean, it's he is staggering.
I mean, it doesn't take much for him right now. I mean, you got to imagine how many that's concussion number whatever. Mm. Oh my gosh. Yeah, I mean, it's accidents will happen, but at the same time, if you've been in the business for any amount of time, it's your job to watch out for the condition of the other guy in the ring.
Yeah.
And if you're that out of it that you don't even notice, like, oh, this guy, I really dinged him.
Mm-hmm.
Hard to imagine that you clocked him with your knee and made that kind of contact that you're not aware of it, you know?
Right.
But anyways, that is a rumor that apparently was a thing. So I think we're both going to stand pat on that. So next one up,
yes, sir.
You know what? Let's go to the bottom, because I want to work our way upwards here. We have a Philadelphia street fight. What I want to know is, are any of these guys even from Philadelphia to add a little credibility to this? If Patrick probably were here, I'd ask him to track that down. But quite honestly, Patrick is useless anyways, so it wouldn't even matter if I
haven't heard from Patrick in a long time, my friend.
Thankfully so.
He used to be a cornerstone of this show.
Dude, there are smells coming out of that, out of his closet at the office that... I actually bought.
Have you had to move HQ because of the smell?
No, but I bought several cans of Axe body spray, and every time I go past there, I just hit it with a good dousing underneath the underneath the door.
Nice.
I'm hoping that it'll either anesthetize the smell or smoke them out. I don't know, one of the two.
Yeah.
So this Philadelphia street fight is Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits versus the Final Testament, who is Karrion Kross and
the Authors of Pain.
Yes.
The AOP. And unfortunately for, and I really haven't been watching this terribly closely, but there was a lot of promise when they brought back, the AOP and paired him up with Kross. And then it sounds like they've been doing kind of the standard back and forth booking with these two groups. So it's like no one's getting a leg up on anyone. Kross is still, unfortunately, and I say it truly unfortunately, because he was such a great character in NXT and had so much promise, and then Vince screws it up when he brings him up to the main roster, then he cuts him loose, Triple H brings him back, we think he's going to realize greatness, and it's like, I don't understand what the issue is, because the guy is, Karrion Kross himself is a great talker, he is very intense. When you set him up in the right environment, he is phenomenal. And these writers just can't seem to find something for him, And so
go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was going to say he's paired up with these two thugs. And so you think they're just going to run roughshod, But then they put him against a group like Lashley and the Prophets where they're also trying to establish them. You know what I mean? So yeah. It's like, that's not going to end well because both need to be elevated somehow.
My problem is I always looked at the couple of times that the Final Testament has come across my TV screen, which has not been very often. Granted, I'm not an every week watcher. I got stuff to do, but I haven't seen.
I got a life, don't you know?
I haven't seen them very much on TV. Like this seems like this is one of those angles that they kind of touch on every couple weeks.
Yeah,
you know, the Final Testament just seems to me like very much a Judgment Day ripoff. It's like the Hydrox to Judgment Day's Oreos, they just haven't done enough to distinguish themselves. And I think the problem is they try to kind of get Karrion Kross as like, oh, he's this guy who's pulling the strings, and oh, he's the reason that this guy's gone down. He's the reason that this guy has gone down. And then just kind of stop that because I think they realize like, oh, how are we going to make any of that pay off? Because he's not on the level of any of these other guys. And there's not really that much room at the top of the card for him.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, I don't think they've quite figured out what to do. And I think maybe if we're looking at the Judgment Day fragmenting and kind of slowly falling apart here, maybe this group will get a little bit of momentum. You know, that can be kind of cool. But in the meantime, they are just kind of in no man's land.
And then Lashley and the Prophets, at one point, I thought were being turned heel and turning into like this vicious heel group. And then they got, you know, basically defanged. And so now I think they're the faces in this situation. It's just very strange. Like,
yeah,
I thought this was going to be like Hurt Business 2.0. What's that?
I thought they were going to be like Hurt Business 2.0.
Right. And they did a whole like, you know, image like an image change and everything. And it's just like resulted in them looking like a bunch of buffoons, basically. Like they had a thing with Legado del Fantasma the LWO.
Mm-hmm.
And Escobar and the LWO went over them each time. And it's like, how are these guys supposed to get any sort of like momentum going? Like this is an area of the creative at WWE I'm not understanding, because the Street Profits are phenomenally talented.
Yeah.
Bobby Lashley is a freak of nature and should be a perennial superstar. And now you're seeing his star dwindle because he's been saddled in this story.
Yeah.
And then you got the Cross and the AOP, which, again, in the right circumstance, I think they could be a really badass squad, but they're booked to be weak. So it's like,
It is rough because, I mean, but then again, it's also an illustration of just how good WWE creative has been overall when you see the things that aren't working. And then you realize this was kind of more widespread before.
Yeah.
There was a lot more stuff that was in that meh territory.
Yep.
So, I mean, I guess you can't bat 1,000, but still, it'd be nice to at least bat, you know, slightly higher than a middling center fielder in St. Louis. I don't know if there is a middling St., you know, center field. There might be an all-star. I don't know. I haven't watched baseball in a while. Who do you got for this one, though? I am at a loss. I feel like we all lose here.
So I want to do a quick comparison. This match. So this has been billed a Philadelphia street fight, correct?
Uh-huh.
Okay. WrestleMania 13 in Chicago. Chicago street fight. Legion of Doom and Ahmed Johnson versus the Nation of Domination. I'm more jazzed for that match as a street fight because of who's the principals involved than I am this group of people.
Well, yeah. I mean, come on. Legion of Doom. Like, okay, yeah, let's bring the Road Warriors into this. And then come on. You like, that's not apples to oranges, but it's like, okay, it's like a Fuji or a Braeburn apple compared to a Red Delicious apple. Because we all know that Red Delicious apples are only red. They are not delicious. They are wormy, just mushy, crappy things that are just, they should just not be a thing anymore.
You know what would make this? And I'm simply saying, like, when I compare those two street fights, and I understand it's probably an unfair comparison because of the principles involved, but there's an element of the principles involved that get me excited about the street fight aspect of it. I don't look at the Street Profits and Lashley as, oh God, they need to be in it. Like, these are the, a street fight is like tailor made for these guys. You know what
I mean?
But like,
it kind of is, because I mean, you look at Lashley, look at the guys in the Final Testament. You've got some bruisers there. The Street Profits are actually very large individuals. Like, oh my gosh, I keep forgetting, because they're so freakishly athletic.
So are the AOP.
That they are not like little dudes. So I mean, in a way, like, this is a way for them to be involved, and I'm sure this is a way to try and figure out something. Maybe they're hoping that out of this, you know, they'll get some highlights that they can build on. I don't know.
You know, if what I this have match to pick, needs? Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
What? Go ahead. Sandman?
No, you already took the Sandman as the host of WrestleMania in Philadelphia.
That
special guest referee and enforcer referee, the Dudley Boys, Bubba Ray in the ring, D-Von outside.
I want to see Bill Alfonso.
Oh my gosh, he was great.
Maybe he has like one tooth left at this point.
Yeah, baby. Or I can't do his gravelly voice. My God, that guy had like the most gravelly of voices.
This would be the perfect opportunity to bring Joey Styles out for this one, though.
It would, 100%, 100%.
Anyways, I'm going with Lashley and the Street Profits just for lack of any other idea.
I'm scribing it in for you. So Lashley and the Profits.
And I'm gonna say I'm again keeping my expectations low. I'm gonna go 1.5 stars.
Okay. I'm actually gonna go the Final Testament. And where would I put this?
After you've completely crapped on it. I'm gonna say 3.75 stars.
I'm gonna go 2.5.
Look at you.
2.5 stars. It's going to be Midland. It's going to be Midland.
Every time we start talking about stars, I flash back to Star Search.
Oh, okay.
That's my reference.
Ed McMahon?
Oh, yeah. Fully drunk Ed McMahon out there, like,
so-and-so gets 3.75 stars. Where's my bourbon?
Exactly. All right, next up, I actually am excited about this match. We've got Jade Cargill and Bianca Belair.
I'm surprised they don't give like the three of them, like, you know, the Holy Trinity.
Yeah, and Naomi. Oh my, I even missed Naomi. I was just thinking about Jade and Bianca, Naomi too, against Damage Control, which
that is insane.
Is this going to be, besides the Royal Rumble, is this going to be Jade's first actual match? Second?
I mean, I'm counting Rumble as her first. This will be her second.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to go with not Damage Control, Muscle Inc. here, I guess we're going to call it. I don't know what their name is. Damage Control is just, I don't know what the hell to think of them right now.
Yeah.
But I think we could use the goodies going over the baddies here. So I'm going to give this 3 stars. I think we're going to be right around.
Okay. So you're going with 3. I will see your 3 and raise it 3.5.
Of course you are. You are like so overly optimistic with this star rating thing for this event.
Well, I mean, you got
Belair. You're totally bought into the hype that this is going to be the greatest WrestleMania ever.
This is going to be the greatest. It is. This is going to be. I am going to average my stars up, and we're going to see if this is going to be a full-on, like, 4-plus star event on average or not.
Oh, you are such a mark. Such a mark right now. It's
just
great.
Hey,
I love
you know
it.
What? Man they call Tim, no more. The man they call Mark, indeed. All right.
I like it.
But yeah, no, I agree. I think this is a good opportunity. I like what they're doing here with Cargill, though, putting her in a six-man tag or six-woman tag. You know, to quote the great Paul Heyman, you know, hide the weaknesses, accentuate, thank you, the strengths. But yeah, this should be a showcase match. And I mean, quite honestly, like this team, I mean, even if you chop Naomi out of it and just have it be Belair and Cargill, that's going to be a that would be freaking monster team if they ever did that as a tag team.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to be more.
I think that might
be
the direction they're going. I think that might be a tag team, and then you break the tag team up. Maybe you turn Belair or Cargill.
Well, like we talked about in the prior episode, that's the rumor, and I think that would be great if they did a run where they were dominant tag champs, but then like Belair, there's a little bit of she gets a little jelly. And, decides to lay the smack it down on Cargill to knock down her basically what could be her replacement, you know? Mm-hmm. So, but I think this is a showcase match for Cargill and them. So I'm going with that. 3.5.
Very nice. All right. The final new match that was added in the meantime here, we have...
Which we called, by the way, once again, ladies and gentlemen, Free Range Idiocy ahead of the curve.
We are ahead
of the curve.
Not in most things that are actually important or would help our lives
at all. Deunify the tag belts, and we're going to get an LWO Legado del Fantasma match.
Kind of, yeah. I guess. Kind of. So we got Rey Mysterio and Dragon Lee versus Dominic Mysterio and Santos Escobar. Dragon Lee, I believe he was in the Rumble match, wasn't he?
He was. I thought last week I read on SmackDown that Rey deputized him as a member of the LWO now. So, which
is that
apparently,
the sort of thing you get deputized for?
Apparently it involves the passing of a t-shirt to an individual and they are therefore deputized. So.
Do I have to worry about getting drafted into the LWO at some point?
Maybe.
They'd have to be pretty far down the depth chart.
To quote Doc Holliday, it's now legal.
We've somehow discovered that you're like 0.5% Spanish, so come on in. Sure, whatever. Otherwise, you are so pasty. This is going to be interesting. I really, 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 really did not see the Mysterio feud managing to bleed over into another WrestleMania. Mm. I wonder if this is going to, if they're going to bring, you know, because last time Dominic got brought in the police van. I mean, do they just go the full Hannibal Lecter, like straight jacket with the mask and everything?
Maybe. That'd be kind of cool.
I think this is going to be a good match. You had some interesting theories on this about how this could be the beginning of the redemption of Dominic Mysterio.
Well, I read on cagesideseats.com. Do check them out. And we'll are we doing show notes for this? I know this is kind of a scaled down show.
Oh, yeah, we're still doing show notes. Yeah.
All right. I will send you the link to this article. But
excellent.
I cannot claim credit for this. This is from Cageside Seats. But there was an article talking about how this match could possibly be the start of a prodigal son redemption story for Dominic, with him potentially taking the pin and then Escobar basically kicking him to the curb because of, you know, the fact that they lost. And the disappointment of losing on a grand stage like WrestleMania to Rey Mysterio. I mean, Escobar is all about inflicting pain and misery upon Mysterio right now. So beating up his son would probably be part of that if they were to lose. Mm-hmm. But there's also, there is that kind of separation happening between him and the Judgment Day, you know, where he's kind of venturing off into other things. So part of the article talks about, you know, maybe his current family he gets kind of cut out of, and so he's kind of on his own. I love they made a reference to similar to when Paul Orndorff went from heel to face when he was with Hogan, how there was a period of time with his character where, you know, fans were starting to like him. He was doing, you know, kind of those good, those babyface sort of things, and fans wanted to embrace him, but he was so kind of disgusted with himself, like he couldn't accept their praise. And so the article was talking about maybe this is what Dom goes through. This is what I was telling about earlier about that, like the journey he goes on where he cannot accept the adulation because he has been this bad person. And finally it kind of, you know, builds to a point where he and Rey end up, he comes home, you know, father, forgive me sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And Rey hands him, and it says this in the article, hands him an LWO shirt.
Otherwise known as deputizing.
Son,
him,
you're deputized.
Jeez. All right. I mean, hey, I'm a sucker for a good story.
Your first officer in the LWO.
I just hope that it does. It takes a while. Like it would be unsatisfying if that turn just happened almost instantaneously. Like that.
I mean, you have to give it time. I mean, the crowd is still booing the heck out of him when he just holds the microphone, for crying out loud.
Which is awesome. It is really awesome.
So some interesting storyline possibilities here, but yeah, who you thinking is going over here, sir?
I'm going with Rey and Dragon.
All right, Mysterio and Lee. I'm also going to go with Mysterio and Lee on this one. I think this is going to be, I like the idea of this being kind of the start of potentially his redemption path. So I think that would be an interesting turn for his character. What is the star rating, sir? Or actually, I'll go first. I'll go
okay.
first.
You've been... Let me guess. You're going to go with 6 stars on this one.
No, but because this is going to be Luchador's in action, I'm thinking this is going to be...
Cinco?
No, not going to be 5, but I'll go... this is tough. I was thinking like 3.5, but... Yeah, I'm going to go 3.5 on this one, too.
I'm going to go a solid 3. Stars.
Okay.
I wish I knew how to say stars in Spanish. I get Kayla here. She could tell me.
And the thing I was struggling with is I'm thinking about, like, you know, what I gave for a rating for the prior match at 3.5. And the thing is, like, I mean, even at his advanced age, Rey, I mean, the guy flies around the ring like a mofo.
Yeah.
It's just incredible. Dragon Lee is incredible. Escobar is, Escobar fought Lee, I think, at Survivor Series, and his offense is just, I mean, he's really, you know, he's got some, like, different moves, and I remember his finisher was just, like, ridiculous looking. And then Dominic is Dominic, and so I just think it's going to be a different match. I like that it's a tag match, but I think it's going to be high quality, a lot of aerial stuff going on, a lot of crazy, you know, kind of stunt luchador type stuff. So I'm looking forward to it. 3.5.
All right. Fair enough. So that catches us up. We have now gone through the full card.
All right.
It only took an episode and a half. We have seen a little bit of an escalation for the main events. The final boss making his presence known, shall we say.
The only thing that's missing is the tears of Mama Rhodes.
And I just want to say this. Okay, so I was watching. I didn't get a chance to watch Raw the other night. So I was watching the highlights this afternoon.
Yeah.
And I sent the man called Tim/Mark a video today. And as I told him, you know, I understand this is wrestling, not real life. So I understand the difference between Dwayne Johnson and The Rock and all that. And I'm okay with him healing it up and all that. I draw the line, however.
Okay.
A gimmick infringement.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know where you're going now. I was like, where are you going with this? And I'm like, okay, got it.
Dwayne using Uncle Rock? Listen to me, Dwayne. The uncle thing is mine. Mine. I'm going to get Taker on the phone. I'll be in Philadelphia. We're going to have wrestler's court. He's going to bring the gavel and everything. I want Bubba Ray as a bailiff. And I want Paul Heyman as my advocate.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Well, Paul Heyman, his services may be open for business after this event. Who knows?
Well, maybe, yeah.
I love Bubba Ray as the bailiff, though. That's phenomenal.
Bailiff?
Gotta have Taker as the judge, though. Judge, jury, course. And executioner. So.
Yep.
Oh, my gosh. That's too funny. That is.
But, oh, my gosh. I mean, so we had last week Rock just pummeling Cody, doing the blade job, Crimson mask, smearing the blood all over the belt.
The belt that says Mama Rhodes.
And then having, like, showing the TikTok and Instagram video footage of the kids crying. And instead of, like, healing it up, he takes it a different direction, which almost makes him more of a devious heel because he's twisting and he's, like, toying with your emotions like a cat with a mouse. It's fracking amazing where they have escalated this to.
Yeah.
And the fact that The Rock is, like, using the language he is, the fact that the violence is escalating, like, yeah, it's feeling an awful lot like Attitude Era version 2.0 has officially begun. However, a couple things that have come out of the past couple weeks, and two of them coming from the 83 Weeks podcast with Hey Hey is Conrad and Eric Bischoff. One of them I thought was pretty interesting in some links I sent to Tim. Mm-hmm. First one being the trailer in the background of the Cody Rock beatdown. Mm-hmm. As Eric rightly pointed out, was lit for cameras, was not just like, that's not just incidental light. That was lit to be shown and was in the frame. A trailer of the WWE uses to call around all this stuff. And this has actually been shown online too, that what their current trailers look like, this is not one of them. Like, it's current talent. On this trailer is John Cena and Stone Cold Steve Austin. And it was like huge in the frame and in the background of this entire beatdown out in the parking lot or the loading dock area. So rumors abound. Will we see Cena? Will we see Austin? Some damn good points. What say you, sir? What do you think about that?
Well, in last episode, I focused a lot on Austin because of his history with The Rock, but I neglected to bring up Cena, who also has a history with The Rock.
Yes.
And when we were talking about the Avengers Endgame sort of approach to Night 2 and the championship match, I think it's going to, and then to layer in what you shared, which correctly, you know, because I was wrapping up my review of our show from last week, but you brought up Triple H as well, and so I think there is a very interesting potential for like this truly on the left moment where you have folks who have been injured and put out by the bloodline. You know, you've got. I mean, even Drew McIntyre falls into that, I believe. So you got McIntyre, you've got Randy Orton, you've got AJ Styles, and I've seen I saw on YouTube I've seen some comments, some folks, you know, fans who do like kind of commentary, talking about this as well. Like, you know, this is a unique time when both a heel and a face have been impacted by this group, and so it doesn't really mean that it's going to be all good guys. It could be a mix of, you know, heel and babyface, people who have been put out and impacted by the bloodline, who are coming in to offset whatever chicanery they're going to pull throughout the match. And then you have with Rock, you have Austin who could show up, you have Cena who could show up, and yeah, I thought that was a really nice touch that they did that. And you know, even the day after on Cage Side Seats, they had I don't know who the source was, but they basically said like there was someone within the company that confirmed to one of the folks that works for that publication that the appearance of Austin and Cena was not an accident. So it's going to be interesting what's going to happen in Philadelphia. Let's just say that.
The interesting thing was, too, with the on what happened last night on Raw, Rock getting kind of physical for the first time with anybody. And
Rock taking shots for the first time. Like, he was physical last week, but I caught the tail end of the or on YouTube, at least, I caught the tail end of the clip. And dude, he doesn't look like he's missed a freaking beat.
Oh, dude, did you notice the thing that impressed me was when it went to the announce table spot?
Yes.
Which we've got to I get where we're heading with WrestleMania. As soon as WrestleMania is done, you got to knock the commentator spots down by about 90%. They mean nothing. And I don't want to turn into Uncle Corny here, but if everybody goes and bashes someone on the announce table or through the announce table, it means nothing. Yeah. It's just another thing. That needs to be reserved. However, when they were setting Rock up and he took a bump, it was like no time had elapsed. He bumped right up onto the announce table when he took the bump. Mm-hmm. Perfect placement.
Yeah.
And it's like, that is a dude who is, this isn't like just a half-assed sort of like, I'll be here for a couple of weeks of this. This guy appears to really be getting back into the mindset of the craft of wrestling, which is good to see.
Yep.
That right there encouraged me so much. And the bumps he was taking, I love the fact that freaking Cody was about to give him a rock bottom. I thought that was great.
Did you hear the crowd though?
Oh yeah, they were when, they were gonna lose their minds if he rock bottomed them through the table.
When he threw his arm over his shoulder, and they knew it was looking like a rock bottom. They're like, "Oh my god!" You know, like it was a collective gasp and scream from the crowd, like "Do it!" You know, sort
how,
of. Thing.
How cool was that for Cody? How much? Oh, I mean, granted, it was over like a millisecond later because Roman Reigns comes over, and I mean, I know that's that spot, but do you think in somewhere in the back of his head he was like, oh, I wish that could have just lasted 5 seconds more. Like,
yeah.
Oh my gosh. Like you got to imagine goosebumps
100%.
At the pop when that happened. 100%. Just, I mean, number one, to be doing that, working with this dude and to get that kind of a reaction, like that's, I imagine that's what you dream of
yeah.
in that business.
Yeah.
And this isn't even like the main event. Like this is still, we're still in the build.
Yeah.
Which is freaking amazing. No, that whole thing was great. And it gives me a lot of, confidence going into the match that okay, it's not going to be a dud, you know. Yeah. Rock actually is going to be able to hold up at least part of his end of the bargain, which is good to see.
Well, and similar to what we talked about with Cargill being in a tag match, I'm glad they didn't just throw him out there though in a one-on-one match. I mean, he hasn't yeah. wrestled in, I mean, I think it's been less than 10
eight years.
But yeah, just to throw him out there one-on-one on the WrestleMania stage, I'm sure he can handle it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's a star 10 times over, but still it's like, I've seen interviews with Triple H about this and he talks about how it's actually more difficult to do this sporadically. He's like, you know, when I was doing it every day, he's like, you build up calluses, your body is toughened to the ring.
Yep. He's Taker like, when talked I, about this in the last ride too, same thing.
Right. And he's like, when you step away and then you try to come back, I mean, yes, you can train in a ring, but he's like, your body just isn't built or isn't toughened the way that it is when you're on the road. And so he's like, it's actually worse just showing up at a WrestleMania to wrestle because he's like, afterwards, I feel like absolute hell.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I mean, that was famously, that was a center point for Taker. It was almost like, yeah he's like, everyone, you know, I go away from, I train for WrestleMania, then I go away and I have surgery and recover from WrestleMania to start training for WrestleMania.
Yep. 100%.
And, you know, that's not good, but it is good to see that, you know, Rock is apparently taking it seriously in the sense of like being somewhat ring ready as you're going to be at his age.
Right.
And at in his stage of life. I mean, there's only so much you're going to do, but it seems like he's doing what he has to do. I think another interesting thing that really was enunciated, kind of some thoughts I had, another episode, I think it might be from the same episode, but another segment.
Just another clip.
Weeks.
Another clip.
Yeah, was Eric Bischoff talking about basically how The Rock is outshining Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
And how this is a really interesting and good problem. But it also goes back to me talking about how, unfortunately, with Roman and the way that he's booked, creatively used, all whatever, he's only as interesting as his opponent and it's showing here because his tag partner is far more interesting than he is. Like he is being so overshadowed. And even though they tried to give him the spot on Monday to really come out and really assert himself and all this, it was like comparing his time on the mic to Rock's time on the mic. It's not night and day, but it's really close. It's really close to being that stark of a difference.
Well,
I mean, he's not a slug. He's not a schlub, but he's
but
not
similar
as good.
To the comparison that I did, though, with the Chicago street fight from 13 to the Philly street fight, coming up here. It isn't a fair comparison, though, right? I mean, Rock has been away for 8 years.
It's a fair
fans are excited.
Comparison.
Fans are excited to see Rock.
True.
There is the potential for some deep storytelling to go on with The Rock, and they have seen Reigns in the top spot for the last 3 to 4 years.
Yep.
And now they're seeing the potential for, if we have a Rock versus Reigns match for supremacy, you know what I mean? Like there is a lot to get excited about around that. Now, when Rock first came back, we talked about this. What was the story behind this? Like, it's just like, it's Rock versus Reigns, and you're sitting here like, why are they fighting? You know?
Yeah.
And then you get to the kickoff show, and they show the family tree, and it's like, okay, why are they fighting for real? Because apparently their dads made some sort of peace pact and they're supposed to be on the same side. So I think that's part of it. And this is where you and I differ a little bit. The thing that I actually like about Reigns, and I like about Reigns and the Bloodline, is the aura he presents when he comes out. You know what I mean? Like, I love the fact that he is, you know, like you brought up to me a couple of weeks ago, like, even though his reign is almost to the point of eclipsing Hogan, and you see the number of title defenses that Hogan made versus the number of title defenses that Reigns has made in roughly the same amount of time.
Yeah.
And Reigns isn't even close. Like, he's 54. Like, he's got 54 title reigns, and like, I think Hogan had like, what, 300 or something? I mean, it was some ridiculous
over 300.
Number.
Yeah. Over.
But what I like about him is, and this is what I think speaks to me about his character, is he puts forth in a way, I don't know if this will make sense when I say it, an MMA style kind of fighter who comes out, he has his entourage. He only shows up for the big events that where he's got a lot on the line, where he's fighting for the championship. You know, like that's that aura about Reigns is what I like about his character, that he isn't someone who shows up all the time, who's in the ring all the time, who's fighting all the time. He shows up when there's a reason to fight, when there's something that he has to prove or defend or whatever. And I like that he's still kind of carrying himself the way that he is in comparison to The Rock, because when we get to the main event, I think recent events have challenged this idea a little bit. There's still the potential, regardless of what has happened the last 2 weeks, that this may all be some just amazing long con that Rock and Cody are pulling on Reigns, where Reigns is going to be left with nothing at the end of WrestleMania 40, where Rock may have shown that all along he was behind Cody this entire time. He betrays him, takes out the Bloodline. It's Reigns all on his own, and he loses to Cody. And he's also lost his family now. You know what I mean? Like this is the thing that the alternative is, like you've suggested, Rock is the heel who goes maybe even beyond where Reigns is, and he almost like takes over the Bloodline and just abandons Reigns altogether. You know what I mean? And almost like exiles him in a way, you know? But I think that's so yes, he's overshadowing him, but I think it's in service to a longer story they're going to tell, that is either going to be Reigns as the babyface and Rock as the heel, or vice versa, where they are going to battle for that kind of familial, you know, supremacy. So I know you don't like him. I know you don't like his vibe, but I actually really kind of dig it. And I think it's different. It's neat. His whole acknowledge me thing is getting old. I think that's the other part, is that he really hasn't changed up his character that much in the last couple of years. It's been the same lather, rinse, repeat sort of formula for him, both in terms of his promos and his matches.
I would say lazy.
I don't think it's lazy. I think he's just locked into a character, and that's where he's at.
Lazy.
No.
Whether for him,
your opinion,
writing, whatever it is. And maybe part of it is because I truly believe this. I think that one of the big problems you have in terms of all the stuff that's happened in WWE over the last couple of years with Vince, you know, the leaving of Vince, the returning of Vince, the leaving of Vince, the who's in charge. You don't really know what to do with this guy. You don't really know what to do with the title. You've got this deal with him where he only works part time anyways. And, you know, he's sure as hell going to make sure you maintain your end of the bargain on that. And hey, good for him. I mean, that's, you fought for that. You negotiated hard for that. So that's what you're going to do. However, it's lazy. This character has not changed in like you said, a couple of years. That is character death. When you're in the entertainment business and a character is neither growing or changing or ascending, descending, it is lazy, and it is character death.
Mm-hmm.
You're boring, and that's the problem. Like I was digging Reigns for a while.
Or
remember, I mean, remember,
or
I was on the Reigns boat here for a while because I was like, wow, this is working. But after a while, it's not going anywhere. So that's why I'm back on this thing of like, I just want this guy to go away. Because he's not there. There's no movement. Mm-hmm. And this is supposed to be the guy who is carrying the company. This is supposed to be what you're keying off of. And this is why I say it's a fairer comparison. It's not a completely fair comparison, but it's a fairer comparison when you are talking about Rock and Roman, because of the way that you're billing Roman as the most dominant universal champion of all time and this and that and the other. He's blah, 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 blah. This is how you're building him up. And a guy shows up who ain't been in a ring for how long and immediately eclipses him. In spite of the fact that that Roman Reigns, say what you want, how many main events has he been in WrestleMania over the last however many years?
I mean, it's got to be close to 10 years.
He's been in a lot of main events.
Yep.
He's held this title for an awfully long time, and you've made a big deal out of it. And when Rock comes back, as soon as he is on the same side as Reigns, he is immediately eclipsing him and making him look silly, because he looks even more tired and worn out than before, because now you have a guy who is really working the crowd and actually doing some really interesting character work. Like, has in the short amount of time he has been back, that character has been tweaked and changed and is changing little bit by little bit, and there's wrinkles and all that. Like, Roman Reigns comes out, does the same fakakta thing every single week. Acknowledge me and blah, 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 blah.
But
it's stale. So, I mean, you have almost the comparison there right next to him of someone who's like, hey, look, this is how you progress. This is how you change. This is how you make a character interesting. Mm-hmm. And Reigns is just like, meh.
But I wonder if we're at that inflection point, and you know, yes, this is making a pun to some degree, but maybe we are at a crossroads.
God,
we said this last week about Cody. I'll say this about Roman now. Last week or last episode, we talked about how it's not going to. I don't know how it's going to work if they try to stretch Cody's story out for another year. I don't see the fans sticking with him. Like, there's only so much patience that fans are going to have. And Brock Lesnar gets a lot of credit this past year for that trilogy of matches he did with Cody, because I think without that, I think the fans would have turned on Cody even sooner. I think that trilogy of matches was huge for Cody and built his mystique even more. Roman, I think, and this is my argument for why I think this is going to be definitively where Cody wins and Roman loses. I think if you do any retooling to his character, he has to lose the championship. He has to now change in some way, because if everything stays the same, I think the fans are going to start clocking out with him too. Because to your point, you're absolutely right. He is, in comparison to The Rock, he is a stale character at this point. Mm-hmm. And no one cares about the tribal chief. Everyone cares about the final boss right now. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the problem. But I think you can't retool Roman Reigns until Roman Reigns loses the championship and becomes something, and now has to become something else without that greatness that he's been holding all of this time. When he's not the man, who is Roman Reigns?
Yes.
And that's where I wasn't sold on it at first, but your idea about Rock remaining the heel and not being the babyface, I think makes a lot of sense, because I wonder now if they're going to try to do a Roman Reigns, you know, tribal chief as a babyface sort of run, but he has to tweak the character. It cannot stay the same. It cannot be the acknowledge me, you know, Los Angeles or something like that.
No,
there is, that goes away when he loses the belt. He's got to do something different.
Yeah.
So I agree with you. I think that's one of the reasons Rock is outshining him. But yes, I think we're running to the end of the shelf life of what Reigns can do as a champion. And I think it's time to get something or someone else new plugged into that. And Cody is the man for that. And he's got a tailor-made foil in Gunther in the hopper waiting to have another year to 2 year sort of, you know, story arc with that character, and get Roman's out of the title picture and have him feud with Rock and in whatever that needs to be, you know, in terms of you know, family warfare or whatever.
You want an example of how quickly the fans will cool on Cody and Roman Just look at Monday night when Cody and Rollins were getting their butts handed to them. Who did they start chanting for? CM Punk.
Yeah.
CM Punk ain't been nowhere near this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they're just, they would be, that's the next thing. And I submit to you, I don't think that I think furthermore, other than Roman losing, Roman got to go away for a long time, for a substantial amount of time. Because the thing is, right now, the money match is not going to be, no matter what happens at WrestleMania, the money match is not Rock versus Roman. The money match is Cody versus Rock right now. And that has shifted big time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, that is the match that people want to see at WrestleMania, actually. They want to see that as opposed to, I do. Hell, I'd see that as opposed to Cody and Roman. The only reason I want to watch that match is hopefully Cody finally gets over the hump and we get rid of Roman for a while.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but yeah, they've got to do something here because I think the fans are going to hit a point of exhaustion. They're just going to realize they're never going to pull the trigger. So next.
Yeah.
And that next is waiting a couple months away when his arm is healthy, and they'd be more than happy to see CM Punk, you know, do whatever. So anyways.
And I mean, Cody also has Punk as a foil too. You know, I mean, I totally see Punk, you know, it's going to be interesting, the timing of it all, because they're probably going to get the IC belt off of Gunther soon. Gunther is then going to make a push for the world championship. He's going to be the monster that Cody has to somehow conquer. You know, like Gunther in a lot of ways is like the Ivan Drago to Cody's Rocky. You know, like Cody is always going to be Rocky in a way. And so, but you have Punk, who's also kind of like, in some ways, I don't know if Clubber Lang is the right way to put it, you know, if we're using the Rocky analogy, but Punk is that, you know, that at the same level, you know, sort of fighter who, and they were starting to show this before Royal Rumble. Like, there's a lot of juxtaposition similarities between the two of them, you know, like two sides of the same coin, you know?
Yeah. I'm more Cody Rhodes than Cody Rhodes.
Right.
I'm more exactly. CM Punk than CM Punk is, which was fan friggin' tastic.
100% on the money. 100% on the money. So I think there's a lot of promise for the company in the next few years with Cody, either as the title holder or, you know, as a title holder losing it and then chasing it again. But it's got to get separated from Reigns. And and to your point, yes, Rock. There's going to be some payoff to that final boss name that he's coined for himself. Like, Cody's going to have to prove something with The Rock. And and I think that's going to be just a phenomenal, you know, phenomenal match for both of them. So looking forward to it.
Yes, indeed. And ladies and gentlemen, we are going to cut this off right here, because otherwise we will continue yapping about this for like another 30 minutes.
I have one more thing to say about Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes.
I'm sure that you do, and that's why we will talk about it some other time. Ladies and gentlemen, thank
you
for listening. Thank you for watching. There is no wrap up. There is no summing up of this. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Subscribe to everything. We are done. We are getting out of here.
Wait a minute. I got to do my tagline at the end.
Which one of the 10? No, I'm not letting you drag this out. I'm taking this home right now.
I'm not dragging. Come on. Let me take it home, baby. That's my role. That's what I do.
No.
You're not. Like incomplete.
You are worse than Hulk Hogan.
I am not. I disagree with Sheiky at a genetic level.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much. And with that,
be safe, be healthy. Be kind.
Still gonna do it.
Be good to one another. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. Ring's closed, baby. See ya!
Now get the hell out of here!